Hi, this is Pastor David Crank.
And Pastor Nicole.
Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. We really love spending time with you, and we hope that you will be inspired today.
Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh new message sent straight to your phone or your computer.
Are you ready? I know God has something amazing in store for you today, so let's get going. I want to talk today, this weekend at all campuses, about being around the right people. You've heard me say it a million times, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. But I try to drive that home because right now, more than ever, we need to make sure that we're around the right people, because if not, we're not going to think the right things. If you hang around the wrong people, you're going to think negative, and you're going to have you can't possibly have a positive life with a negative outcome. How you think determines everything about you. There's a young man in West Palm Beach, Florida right now, and he's part of our campus down there. And today he won. Tomorrow, if he wins, he will be the youngest man ever to win the U.S. Open. Give it up for our brother down there. And when I think about, you know, his best friend and roommate in college, he's very connected to our church and how they grew up together. And oftentimes this guy didn't know much about Jesus, didn't know much about church or God or the Word of God. But his roommate, my dear friend, did. And he would speak into his life all the time. So again, it's so important, because when fame comes or success comes or greatness comes your way, you can implode or you can explode and make sure your outcome is great. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? If you finish your course with joy, as Jesus said, then you will enjoy your life and have good days. But if you have success... Success is not just money. Raise your hand if you know that's the truth. Success isn't just money. Success isn't, it's a total pot, a total health prosperity. And I want you to make sure you're around the right people. Right now, there's a statement that I wrote down. I want to put them up on the screen for you. I wrote it this week, and I think they put it up. It says, who you hang out with determines what you dream about and what you collide with. And the collisions and the dreams lead to your changes, and the changes are what you become. Change the outcome by changing your circle of friends. Years and years ago, when I first started the church, when my dad went on to be with the Lord, I was not really around any people, but I started being around people through social media. It wasn't so big, but television was. And I started watching a guy named Mark Crow in Oklahoma City and emulating what he was doing and how he was reaching people far from Jesus and many others. And I did what they call modeling. Everybody shout modeling. Look at your neighbor at all campuses and shout, I'm a model. Modeling is when you see somebody's life and you're like, I want to be like them, act like them. And not that you're imitating them, but there's something about them that you say, I want to be like that. And so oftentimes people try to reinvent the wheel instead of saying, no, let's find somebody that's been successful and let's follow the tricks that they did, the techniques, the art, the science that they did, and then perhaps we could have the same outcome. Now we know this. Jesus talks about this. He says, bad company corrupts good morals or manners, both translations. Another one says, he that hangeth out with wise people will be wise. Now, at all campuses this weekend, it's the weirdest time in the world. How many of y'all would agree this is the weirdest time in the world? Everybody has a microphone, and not everybody needs a microphone. Can I get an amen? And then everybody's saying stuff. It would be like right now at all campuses, if everybody had a microphone, you all started talking at the same time. How many of y'all know that wouldn't be good for me? I would just quit, because I'd be like, hey, they're all talking. And not that people shouldn't have free speech, but sometimes right now, people aren't grounded in the Word. And we've got to make sure as a church that all of our decisions, like those scriptures that I just gave, are coming out of the Word. What's the Bible say? What's the Word say about this? Well, here's the one thing that I know the Bible says. It says to love your enemies. I hate them. I'm going to kill them. If somebody has a different opinion than you now, it's like, oh, we should stab them in the throat or burn down their house. Have you seen this happening? Right? And so we're always hating, when the Bible said that love covers, that love is patient. See if you think this is a little different than what a lot of people are doing. Love is kind. Love is tenderhearted. Love's not puffed up. And it says with God's love, you never fail. And I know that's a lot of like Jesus juice right now. And it's like, man, what? Don't you get it? I do get it. And I want to bring it all the way back to mental health. Enjoying your life, having success in life has everything to do with what the manufacturer's book said. And God manufactured you to live in peace, health, and prosperity. Come on, give it up for We have groups. I want the first group to come out today. We're modeling groups today because, again, there's a group here in Florida. Pastor Austin has a group on Tuesday night immediately following the church there called an eating group. This is an eating group. They just go out to eat. Come on, give it up for the eating group. They're just killing it there. How many of y'all think you could be a part of that group right there? I don't know what that menu looks like, but how many of y'all like to eat? Sure. Nicole, on our first date, we went out to eat, and she said, I'm not one of those girls that don't eat, and she ordered dessert first. God is my witness. How many of y'all like Nicole, right? She's like, no, that's it. She also told me, if you think I'm going to sleep with you, forget it. It's not about that with me. If you like it, then you got to put a ring on it. Give it up for Nicole one more time. She knew how to get me. Come on, somebody. Eating group. So again, Proverbs 27, verse 5, this proves our point about good friends being around you. It says that open rebuke is better than secret love or concealed love. It said, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Friend, we're seeing friend a lot. Verse 9 says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, but the sweetness of a man's friends gives him light and hearty counsel. Friends. So an eating group, there's motorcycle groups, there's every kind of group that you can possibly imagine at our church. And so today, one of my goals is to get you around the right people. Because if you are hanging out with the wrong people, your outcome will be wrong. And I'm not saying that you always got to be around people that think like you. Don't get around people that vote like you. Don't watch all the news channels that think like you. Always think a little bit different and broader and just stretch your mind. I'm not saying that people all ought to think the same. I'm saying the very opposite of that. I'm saying that our church is very diverse. And if you get around the right people, somebody will put a little bit of this in and another person will put a little bit of that in. And your life will be so blessed, so beyond anything you ever thought possible. It's like a fragrance, the Bible says. It's like an ointment. I think the next group's coming out. I know it's kind of loud, but it's kind of fun. It doesn't really matter to me. The next group is a fitness group. I'm into fitness. Fitness, whole pizza in my mouth. Anybody like that, all right? But there is a fitness group, all campuses. These people are into fitness. Look at that. Look at this. What? Look at Connell. Connell's getting huge. Fitness group. Groups. You say, why are you doing this? Because I want you to get around people that are like you. It's not just a book club. It's not like our groups are just about sit around and read Hi God, although there's one of those groups. But if you do what you do, I want you to do it with people at church. Why? Because it's there that you learn trust, camaraderie, enjoyment. And here's a big one, accountability. You're only as sick as your secrets. So if you get around people that maybe the opposite of the fitness group, the eating group, right? So you're sitting around with how many of y'all can identify with the eating group, right? So you're all sitting around at the table. Maybe they're in Royal Palm. Oftentimes people go there. Trace Wings is just two doors down from you. In fact, I met a guy Tuesday night at Royal Palm, and I asked him, how'd you get to this church? And he said, I was walking to Trace Wings, and when I heard the music, Cynthia Mandel waved at me, invited me into church. I came in, and I've been here for 4 weeks, and I love it. Give it up for that guy, right? Come on, you can do better than that. So it's at those tables, though, that delight comes, hearty counsel comes. In fact, some people will say things at a table and they don't even know why they said it, and it wasn't necessarily directed at you, but it just hits your heart because God's actually using them to help you. Verse 10, I love this one. This is a good one. It says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. The Message Bible says, don't leave your friends or your parents' friends and run home to your family when things get tough. Better is a nearby friend than a distant family member. Well, what's that mean? Years ago, Florida doesn't know anything about this, but there's a town out here in Franklin County called Villa Ridge. And my dad moved to Villa Ridge, and his next door neighbor at the time was a guy named Wayne Prince. Wayne was the chief of police at Ellisville. He was also the administrator of Ellisville and ended up being the mayor of Ellisville. He just kind of wore a lot of hats at Ellisville. But when my dad moved out there, him and Wayne both moved out there not to talk to anybody. He didn't want to talk to my dad. My dad didn't want to talk to him. But then they were the only neighbors. And somehow, my dad wasn't chatty at all, and neither was Wayne. But somehow God forged a friendship between those two. Their son Daniel had extreme asthma as a little boy. And my dad felt for the boy. And my dad began to tell Wayne, who wasn't a believer, about God's ability to heal his son. And so one day, Wayne just, you know, brought the kid to church. Daniel was a little boy. My dad prayed for him. He got around my dad and the people of God, and God healed Daniel. Now Daniel's probably 40-some-odd and is a owner of a very large corporation in Wisconsin. And Wayne was my dad's dear friend. Notice this. Years and years later, about 20 years later, my dad is going on to be with the Lord. And guess who was by his side at the hospital? It was Wayne. I knew that Wayne was my dad's friend so much when I took off and the church started exploding and I didn't know exactly what to do. I knew the scripture here. I didn't know, but I knew this. I just felt like something in me was saying, your dad's friend is your friend. So I called Wayne and said, hey, would you be on the board of the church? Would you advise me with administrations? You fought a lot of cities. You know what it's like to run cities. And for all these years, some, you know, 16 years until Wayne just went on to be with the Lord last year, he fought administrations for us. He fought cities for us. He advised the church for us. My father's friend was my friend, even though he's in heaven today with my dad. Those friendships are covenant friendships. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. Verse 10, one more time. It says, do not forsake your friend, nor your father's friend. So in other words, friends are very important. Here's one of the things I need you to know. The most important thing in your life is not money. It's not tennis shoes. It's not a Rolls Royce. It's not a boat. I've got friends. I was with one yesterday that owns so many restaurants and yachts and a lot of stuff. And then I was with another guy who doesn't own anything and lives in an apartment. And both people have the same problems. And they're both my friends. I'm telling you that these things don't make you happy. But so it must not be things or it's relationships. The most important, significant things in your life is not anything except people. And friendship is one of the most powerful tools that you could ever have. So forsake not. Verse 17, I love this verse. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpens iron. Now, when iron is sharpening iron, it's steel to steel, sparks are flying. A friend stabs you in the front. You have to have people that know your secrets. You got to have people around you that know when you're not doing right. How many of y'all have got some people that they could tell you, you'd say, hey, how you doing? And they say, I'm fine. And you're like, you're lying. You're not fine at all. You need that person in your life. You need somebody to tell you about what's going on and know what you are going through and also keep an eye on you when you're heading down the wrong path. One more group. Y'all want to see one more group? I know it's noisy, but give it up for one more group coming out. This group is probably my favorite group because I like to ride motorcycles. And look at these guys. They're riding those motorcycles. Those are some biker dudes. Look how nasty they are. Biker chicks. Come on, look how cool. Look at Connell again. Connell's got so many looks. Come on, give it up for this thing. Biker groups. How many of y'all can spike biker people just like that? But all these different groups, again, I want you to get involved in the group. Here's why it's important. When you're in a group and you're hanging out with people of God, you'll actually stretch those people who are not near to Jesus, near to Jesus. It also gives you an opportunity to invite people, listen to me now, into your circle of friends that would never ever go to church. They think they know what's happening in church. At Royal Palm Beach, you know, that church looks very churchy with the steeple and all that. And I'm sure there's all kinds of people drive past that little building and they don't know that's the biggest little church in the world. When I'm preaching in there to 120 people here and 120 people in the overflow, they don't know that there's thousands of people at the other campuses. They assume they know what's going on in there. So my point is, a lot of people that are far from Jesus who need their life revolutionized, maybe it's a biker group. You need to go out and bring those people that are far from Jesus into your group. Next thing you know, they're doing what they want to do. But now they're doing it with a purpose. Come on, give God praise today. They're doing it with a call, and they're enjoying their life. Groups, don't do life alone. The enemy is always trying to get us over here alone in isolation. Isolation is never good. unless it's on a fan, an isolating fan. But isolation where you're alone and you're by yourself, it's never good. A guy in my small group a long time ago, his name is Pastor Omar Morris, and he was on staff at the church, and there was just he and I, and I was going through a divorce. And every day when my wife had left me the first time, Omar was so close to me and things were so messed up, he helped her move. I didn't have to deal with it. I'm just telling you this, Kenny. And then she came back. Forgive me, we're going to work this out again. And Omar helped her move back in. And then when she decided she was going to leave again, she got all mad and left, and Omar helped her leave again. And then she came back. This is a true story, folks. And then the last time Omar said, this is it. She's never moving back in with you again. We are done. He himself helped me realize that I was hanging on to something that was dead and you can't make people love you. And he looked me in the eyes and said, you deserve something good. God's going to give you something good. Come on, give it up for Pastor Nicole. And so he could see in my future what was going to come to me, but I couldn't see anything but being alone. I need to be, I don't know. I've wasted 8 years of my life. He said, no, you've invested 8 years of your life. This is that scripture again. It said, iron sharpens iron. So he could tell me the truth because he saw the pattern. But if you're not in a small group, and I want to tell you today's the day to get in a small group. Here at all campuses, you go out in the lobby. There at RPC, go out there under that red tent and get in a group. And here's the deal about a group. If you get in the biker group and you don't like them, just don't go back. You're like, I'm going to try the food group. And then if you don't like that group, try another group. Just keep getting involved because, again, the enemy tries to isolate you. And if you get isolated, you know what happens? You get lonely on a Friday night or Saturday night, and you end up calling somebody that you shouldn't call, and you go back down the road that you shouldn't go down. And now all the hard work that you've been working on, come on, give it up for God, is gone. Because life is a roller coaster. There's a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns, and going at the speed that this coaster goes, it's not so bad. But how many of y'all know the real coaster is bad? Come on, raise your hand today. John 15, verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, but that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Notice Jesus didn't just call us like peasants. Jesus called us friend. I love that song. I'm a friend of God. We're not just sons of God, and we are. We're not just daughters of God, and we are. We're friends of God. In other words, if God was going to come to your town, he'd be like, hey, what are you doing on, you know, the 3rd and 4th of October? Because I'm coming to town for the baptism. Or hey, Thursday night, I'm coming, and I'm going to be at the girls' meeting here at Earth City this week. We had it in Florida last week. Jesus would call you, and he'd say, would you go with me? 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend. Back to that friend thing. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. You're going to go through trials. I'm going to get to trials. All campuses, how many of y'all went through some stuff in your life? How many of y'all smart enough, you're intelligent enough, you're educated enough to know most likely you're going to go through some more trials? So there's going to be some good times and some bad times, but when adversity comes, you need a friend that's going to stick with you like Jesus. And then here's the key. We need to give Jesus advice to people and not, here's what I think. I'll tell you what I'd tell her. I'll tell you what I'd tell him. Well, you run it through the Bible because you might find yourself divorced and that joker runs off with your wife. Somebody ought to help me right now. Think about it. I want to go to this video. It kind of helps the point.
So at the end of the day, I think we got to make sure that we are with the crew.
Yeah.
We're with the right people. And when you go on rides, you kind of got to pair up too, right?
Yeah.
It really feels weird when you're the one man out.
Yeah.
So small groups, growth track, getting in small groups, yeah. Pairing up with the right people. You get around the right people, you get the right answers, mindsets. And also there are people who encourage you because like Phil here, he keeps stopping at every popcorn stand. He wants to eat, but he don't want to ride. He uses it for an excuse. He's trying to say, I'm too full. I just ate, so I can't ride. We're pulling him past the spirit.
We're saying, no, you can do it. Step out. Get out of that comfort zone. You're going to have a great time. And in life, you need those people to pick you up whenever you're down. You need those people to help propel you forward whenever you just want to stop. You want to quit. And that's why it's important to have those people around you.
Come on, give it up for Pastor Phil, even though he's a chicken. Come on, he's a man of God. Don't be afraid to get in a group. Don't be afraid. Be like, oh my gosh, I don't know how they will love me. That my dad has a friend in ministry named Kenneth Copeland, and my dad was really never around him because he was always afraid. He felt insecure, and Brother Copeland had reached out to him several times, and he never would get around Brother Copeland. When my dad died, I went to one of his meetings in Branson, Missouri, and he started asking me questions about my dad. Why wouldn't your dad come around me? Why wouldn't your dad let me love him? And I said, you don't realize how painfully shy my dad was. Raise your hand unless you're too shy to raise your hand if you're shy. Raise your hand if you're shy. How many of you are totally not shy and you'd go talk to anybody about anything? Good. You need to be asking people to come to church because you're not shy. But my dad wouldn't let that happen. He just said, no, you can't love me. I'm just asking you not to make that mistake. My dad went to heaven and he didn't know that Brother Copeland would have loved to be his friend. And you know what my dad needed? He needed a friend. I'm telling you that you need a friend that can encourage you. But if you're running away, we always got to pull on you. What you're doing is you're forsaking God's blessing in your life to make you who you're called to be. Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. Not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction. What is church for? Worship and instruction. All campuses. What is church for? Worship and instruction. One more time. What is church for?
Worship and instruction.
Here's what I want you to know. Whenever you stop a rhythm, it messes with the algorithm of your life. In this, with the coronavirus and everything that has happened, it has broken people's rhythm to go to the house of God. That's why suicide has spiked to an unbelievable proportion, and way more people are dying there, truthfully, than anywhere else, because guess what? All other abuses and behavioral problems aren't managed, and part of it is because the church has been taken out of the rhythm. Forsake not the assemblies of yourself together as believers worship for instruction, as is the habit of some. Let's put the scripture up, please. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. As the habit of some. Everybody shout that with me. As the habit of some. But encourage one another, admonish one another. And what's that last one say? Warning and urging. Warning and urging. As the habit. A habit, I looked it up. I said yesterday when I was studying, I said, hey, Google, give me the definition of habit. And it said, a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. A settled or regular practice, habit. And the Bible said, hey, as the evil day approaches, and all campuses, raise your hand if you think this is pretty dang evil right now. How many of you have never seen the stuff happening like it's happening right now? Okay, so if this is that, then we have to do what the manufacturer said, because nobody warned us about this but Jesus in his word. Jesus said that these troubled times would come, perilous times would come, times hard to deal with would come, but he said, see to it that your heart is not troubled. So he said, worship Jesus and let the Holy Spirit give you instruction. And when the evil day approaches, just make it a habit. And the enemy has successfully broken the rhythm of people going to church and has separated us from healthy mentality. He separated us alone with our own thoughts. And actually, Barna just came out with the research this last week that said that one out of every four churches will be broken out of business by the end of the year. One out of every four. How many of y'all know that's a problem? Don't worry about this one. We knew it was coming, so we got a low debt and high money in the bank, so we're good in the hood. We have an opportunity to actually buy some churches and help some other churches. In fact, we're helping a church tomorrow, Monday, with $50,000 of our surplus money because they need it. Come on, give it up for God in helping other churches. Come on, you can do better than that. So how many of y'all know that the devil would love to shut down the church? Raise your hand if that makes sense. How many of you are smart enough to realize that the church is the heartbeat of God and it's the hope for the world? How many of you are smart enough to know that you won't do well without church? And again, it's not about a building. It's just about that rhythm, about that habit. Continuously reminding yourself that life has ups and downs and that you need to be around church so you can meet people, because trust me, those people in your life are going to make you or break you. Everybody needs a friend. Now, a couple things I want to give to you before we go. When you're not around the right people who stab you in the front or iron sharpening iron, you're the easiest person in the world to deceive you. You lie to you. And you're a good liar to you. But oftentimes people believe their own public relations campaign about themselves because they're not transparent with themselves and they don't walk in a little thing called integrity. So then you lie to yourself. Every once in a while, I lie to myself so much and realize I got to remind myself that I lie to myself about that every time. So then when I do it, I go, hey, you know what? You know you're lying and I know you're lying. So let's stop lying. I seem to be the only one here in St. Louis, Florida. Anybody ever lied to yourself? Raise your hand. Like, you suck it in the front and you think you look good. Somebody takes a picture on the side and you realize you've done lied to yourself and you forgot to suck. Come on, raise your hand. I just want, don't make me go all the west of the way. But what we do is we believe our own relational campaign and we need to ask ourselves some questions. We need to be honest about our flaws. We don't need to exaggerate our abilities. We need to say, hey, I tell half-truths a lot. I flatter to get my way a lot. Or I lie and say I can't go to church, but then I do go to the movies and I do go to Disney and I go everywhere. I'm lying to myself. I'm trying to help you with the personal growth right now that this isn't just about them. It's not about the church. It's about you. Yeah. And what are you going to do to make sure you're answering the call of God on your life? All ophthalmologists agree that everyone here listening to my voice right now, online, on podcast, that everybody has blind spots in each one of your eyes. You just have blind spots. So some of us have emotional blind spots. Some of us have relational blind spots. Some of us have all kinds of blind spots, and we don't realize if we're not careful, we allow the enemy to determine what we see instead of renewing our mind upon God, and now we don't focus on the problem. We focus on the promise, and then we don't say about ourselves, you always, you never, and you'll always be addicted to that, and you'll always be bound by that. Come on, somebody give God praise today. We want to make sure we're better together. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, let's go there. It says, two are better than one. That's not just talking about brownies, but it does mean that. Two are better than one, not just Girl Scout cookies, but because they have a good reward for their toil. For if one fall, then the other one lifts up the other fellow. But woe unto the one who is alone. Everybody shout that with me. Woe to the one that is alone. Come on, everyone, everywhere. But when he falls, he has not another person to lift him up. Verse 11 says, again, if two lie together, one can keep the other one warm. These are analogies. And though a man might fight and prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. In other words, some people are going to see something, or some people are going to be smart in this area, and other people are going to be smart in that area. Yeah. I'm not smart when it comes to spelling. But I'm real street smart when it comes to, I can tell right away you lied to me in 2 seconds. I was like, how'd you know? I'm like, as soon as his mouth started moving, I knew he is a horse trader and a liar. And then later, I'll tell him 5 years later, I told you. They'll be like, what about Bob? And he did this. And I told you the day I met him, 2 seconds, that dude was a lying horse trader. People don't like the truth. I forget about that. I realize. You got to do what you're good at. Years ago, me and my brother were at the Lake of the Ozarks. My dad lived down there a lot. We were homeschoolers, so we didn't have a lot of friends. And we were in our teens, and we went down to Bagnell Dam. And there were some kids there, and we started talking and cruising. And we were flirting with girls. Anybody ever done that in there? And we were trying to do stuff. And we ran up on these guys, and we just wanted to be friends with them. But they had been drinking. And then all of a sudden, it turned, and they wanted to fight us. And I realized right away that there's no way we could fight these guys. Number one, they're drunks. Number two, they're rednecks. Number three, I never really fought before. I was a homeschooler. Come on, somebody. But I couldn't spell well, but I told them, I said, here's the deal. I want to show you. I Googled it this week at my house. I zoomed in at the Lake of the Ozarks. That's where we were. We were right about there. And if you zoom out over on the other side of the dam, I told those guys, here's the deal. We are going to fight, but there's cops everywhere. You meet us over there right now, and don't you chicken out. We will meet you there. We got in the car, and we drove off. My brother thought we were going to fight them, but I was like, we're heading to Jefferson City. Somebody ought to help me right now. I remembered that and I thought, man, my brother would have got us rearranged. But through my wisdom, come on, somebody ought to help me. People say, you lied to him. I sure did. God done forgave me. Have the right people around you to tell you you might not want to fight that fight. I have a friend, Mark Hankins, and he said a statement. He's from Louisiana. He said, you might can whip a skunk, but you might not want to. So I think somebody out of a shirt made that says, you might could whip a skunk, but you might not want to. There's a lot of fights in life that you don't need to fight. And if you'll get around the right group, I promise you your life will be better. All campuses, stand up with me right now, and here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to move it around. I want you thinking sometimes when you change your state like that, you go somewhere else. I need you to stick with me just for a minute. Number one, how many of y'all think there are some areas of opportunity for you to show friendliness and friendship to people, and you also have some room to receive some friendship? Everybody at all campuses, raise your hand. Put it back down. That's good. Thank you for your honesty. If my dad had been friends with Wayne, Wayne's son wouldn't have gotten healed. Wayne probably wouldn't know Jesus. And our life as a church wouldn't even been half what it is today, because we had somebody that knew a whole lot about government that helped us lead the way. Because again, over the years, it's not always been popular. They don't like churches because churches don't pay taxes on the property. So we had to fight for the right a lot of times. And Wayne was right there. So my dad thought he was just being nice, but what he was doing was he was investing in his children and his children's children's future by making a strategic friendship that he thought was just meeting my neighbor. So here, this campus, Royal Palm, Earth City, Sunset, every campus, Ferguson, Weldon, after this sermon, I want you to, not to put it up, I'm gonna do it next week. No, no, no. Small groups start this week. We have groups starting at all campuses. Some of these groups are, you saw some of them, but there's a plethora of them. Online, you can actually see all these different groups that you can join up. You just go to the Faith Church Connect group. Lobbies, of course, outside, of course, but I want you to do that. And again, it's not long. These are very short sessions, but what it does is it makes a really big difference when you introduce people to people. Because again, people are the gatekeepers for the rest of your life.
Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I certainly hope you enjoyed this message. And if you did, I want you to share the podcast with a friend. Sometimes you don't know what your friend's going through, but perhaps this podcast can be an encouragement to them.
And for all our resources or to give a gift today, check out faithchurch.com. David and I love you, and we're praying for you.
We can't wait to see you next time.